Oh, love, love, love. Chocolates and flowers and little red heart emojis. It's coming. The most dangerous hostage holiday of them all. Valentine's Day.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry!
Larry, get into bed now!
Come on, Larry! Larry!
This episode is entitled, From Incel to Stud in Three Easy Steps. And that's exactly what I have for you. Even if you're not an incel, maybe you're just some dude trying to rebound from a bad romance or in a dry spell, I've got the fix for you. So stay with me, and I'll circle back to that in a little while. Valentine's Day is a hostage holiday. What's a hostage holiday? Well, I coined that term back in episode 59, Larry's Death-Defying Winter. Hostage holidays are holidays where you damn well better acknowledge and gift. Because if you do not, she's going to make you suffer. Other hostage holidays would be spousal or significant other birthdays, anniversaries, of course, and Christmas. More songs are written about love than any other topic, probably by a factor of 5 or 10 or 20. And without love stories, Hollywood would have been out of business before it got started. Even in action movies, they almost always have to shoehorn in some love interest for the hero, don't they? It's not enough that Bradley or Ryan kills the bad guys and saves the world. He has to get the girl, too. There must always be a romantic subplot to what? Ensure it makes a good date movie? Movie mogul Jack Warner reputedly said, quote, "There's only one plot, a delayed fuck." Maybe Jack was right. I never thought movies were good for dates. Actually, they suck. You pick her up at 7 and see a flick at 8, which runs at least 2 hours. That means you've just spent 120 minutes not with each other, but with several hundred strangers and characters on a screen. If the idea of a date is to get to know someone, a movie defeats that purpose. Everybody wants and needs love, but how many of us really get it? How fine a line is there between love and hate? What does it take to cross from one side to the other? The answer is, not much. In fact, I would posit that after being in a combat zone or a hospital, two places where you are very likely to get dead, the third most dangerous place to be is in a romantic relationship. People are usually murdered by someone they know, a husband or wife. Maybe that's why that tattoo of a heart with a dagger through it is so popular. The odds of you being killed by a total stranger are really low, ask any homicide detective. As soon as they find a corpse, the first people cops want to talk to is a spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend. I saw a new section in the Valentine's cards. Maybe it's not new. Maybe I just noticed it for the first time. An entire subdivision that said Galentines. For women who don't have boyfriends or husbands, one would suppose, which is an awful lot of people, according to statistics, a growing demographic. Galentine's Day occurs on February 13. I wonder if that was intentional for the unlucky. Why didn't they make it Feb 12 or the 15th? You can get Galentine's Day cards in bulk on Amazon. Here's the product pitch. The cover features a pretty floral design on a painted pink background. Inside reads, quote, "To a lady who's inside, outside, and all around fabulous. Have a day that's as amazing as you." Seems Galentine's Day was invented on the show Parks and Recreation. I've not seen a single episode. It would take, I think, some measure of guts to put a Galentine's Day card on the counter in front of the cashier, kind of like buying elevator shoes or falsies or porn or a vibrator or Viagra or soup for one or those single-serving wine bottles. Maybe retailers should group all that stuff in one department, huh? could have its own entrance and no cashier to smirk at your purchases. Self-checkout only. Maybe they call it the solo selections. They could package a Galentine's Day survival kit. 3 merchandiary DVDs, 2 quarts of Chunky Monkey, and a Hitachi magic wand. Maybe Target is approaching Galentine's all wrong. Since being in a serious relationship, or married, vastly increases your odds of being murdered, maybe they should work the safety angle, huh? Garnish the Galentine section with police tape and road flares. Maybe a flashing LED light that says, "Single is safer." Because it really is. And since men are now relentlessly vilified and demonized, throw in some imagery of a grinning Ted Bundy holding a bloody bouquet while on the floor behind him is one of his victims with her shoulder chewed off. Of course, plenty of guys get killed by their wives and girlfriends, too. But we never give that any consideration. We figure we're bigger and tougher and can handle her. But chicks don't fight fair. There was a great story from Indonesia recently about a dude who refused to give his wife the passcode for his cell phone. So, she poured gasoline over him and lit him up. He died 2 days later. The story didn't say whether she got that passcode out of him or not. No chick is ever going to say put up your dukes or even sucker punch you. She'll stab you or shoot you in your sleep. Remember Phil Hartman's psycho wife? Or she'll pay somebody to kill you, or she'll poison you. That's a favorite. Non-confrontational. Sneaky. Safe. For her. I rarely watch TV, but once in a while I'll check out a Dateline or 48 Hours. If it's a wife kills husband story, it's astonishing how many times the weapon of choice is antifreeze. They put it in hubby's Jell-O shots or his morning glass of Tropicana. They use teensy doses over prolonged periods, months, even years. Well, those doses are cumulative. Months and years he spends feeling like shit with stomach cramps and fatigue and headache and nausea. It's staggering how the doctors can never figure it out until the guy's kidneys are literally petrified with ethylene glycol crystals. By then, he's dead. Every emergency room has that dopey card on the wall that says, "Rate your pain from 1 to 10. Some imbecile wrote that thing. Like anyone could quantify pain with a number. They should ditch that stupid thing and have one that says, "Ask all married men with stomach cramps if he has antifreeze in the garage and a wife that hates his guts." That laminated card would actually save lives. Men fly into a rage, put somebody down with a Bowie knife or a baseball bat, or choke them out with their bare hands. But these chicks, ooh, they like to kill slowly. Watch him suffer. Watch him weaken and dissipate and dissolve. Women are way, way more concerned about safety than men. They could sell a lot more Galentine's Day cards if they played off that safety factor. Have a catchphrase like, "Solo is safer." And it would not be untrue. Politicians usually peg their shitty parasitic careers to one cause or another. And safety's a big one, right? Safe schools, safe food, safe cars, safe toys, safe, 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 safe. Why isn't some Congress turd lobbied for safety warnings on Valentine's Day cards? Cigarettes have mandatory warnings on every pack. But way, way fewer than half of all smokers die from a smoking-related illness. Yet, 50% of marriages do end in divorce. And divorce will fuck you up. No exceptions. Why isn't there a corresponding Palentine's Day card? Would men buy those? Some gay dudes might. What about the straight guys? How would Hallmark approach Palentine's cards? I'd have to think about that one. It would probably never get off the ground, but I said that about that manscaping product line that's making somebody very rich. The diciest part of Valentine's Day cards are, of course, what the manufacturers call the sentiment. This is where you really have to be careful. Most of the sentiments are over the top. They usually amplify whatever's on the front. If it's a big red throbbing heart, then inside it would be some equally sappy love proclamation, you know, you complete me, you are the air that I breathe, stuff like that. Wouldn't it be fun to let the recipient down? Open it up and it says, you're okay, I guess. Or maybe it's one of those audio-chipped cards. You open it and...
Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself!
Valentine's cards are getting more honest. I saw one that said something like, you're the one I want next to me while I look at my phone. That probably typifies a lot of relationships. Other than skydiving without a parachute, getting married is the riskiest thing most people will ever do. A bad choice will ruin lives. Hers, yours, and the kids. Divorce fucks people up like few things can. When I was single, I could usually tell if a girl's parents were divorced very quickly. They almost always had an aura of melancholia about them. Chicks from solid families were always more carefree. This might be a good time to answer a listener question or two, and I'll give it to you straighter than you could ever get it from Dr. Drew. This email is from a female listener, Emily. She's conflicted about her relationship with her boyfriend, Andrew. She says, Hi Larry, I was turned on to your show during a long drive with my boyfriend, Andrew. Now I download every episode. I hate the other podcasts he listens to, but I always enjoy yours. Well, thank you, Emily. Andrew and I were set up by a friend of mine. We've been dating for almost 2 years. He's very attractive, financially stable, and we get along well. Of late, he's been dropping some hints about settling down. When he does, I don't know what to say. I usually change the subject. All my friends think he's a real catch, but here's the catch. This may sound awful, but I always thought that when I'd find my husband, he'd be someone that I wanted to be around all the time. Someone I'd be eager to raise children with, someone that I felt more enthusiastic about. Andrew and I rarely fight, but at the same time, there doesn't seem to be the passion I expected to feel for somebody I would commit to. But he's a really good guy, and most other men I meet are losers. What do? Thanks, Emily. Well, Emily, thank you for listening and seeking my sage counsel. Your trust in me is misplaced. No, just kidding. Emily, your dilemma is not uncommon, and I think you've probably answered your own question. Choosing the person you marry is the second most critical decision of your entire life, the most critical one being making a baby. It's mind-blowing how cavalier people can be about marriage, and even more so about procreation. Sounds like Andrew is a good guy, but maybe not so good for you. If you're lukewarm about him now, it's unlikely that will heat up over time. For some reason, and I don't know why, most relationships reach a point of pass or play by right around the 18-month mark. That's enough time to get to know someone pretty well, and by then, if wedding plans are not in the offing, you've probably not found your soulmate. I'd suggest you take a break from each other. At least 2 weeks, a month is even better. If you don't feel a void in your heart and an emptiness in your life, then you should break up with Andrew. Everyone's time is irreplaceable, and it sounds like he's ready for a wife. If you should find that absence makes your heart grow fonder and do marry him, remember this. Marriage without kids is just dating with a contract. You can still split and never look back, but kids are eternal. There really is no divorce once children are involved. Good luck to you, Emily. Next is a timely missive from a listener named Rick. Hey, Larry, we've been dating about 7 months and she's planned a weekend away, Valentine's weekend, at a high-end Victorian bed and breakfast by the sea. Candlelit dinners, the whole nine yards. I think she's expecting me to pop the question, But not only am I not ready for that, I'm actually ready to say goodbye. We've had some good times and she's okay, but she's not the woman I could see myself spending the rest of my life with, or even a weekend at a bed and breakfast. Help me, Rick. Whoa, this one's a bear, Rick. I know what you're thinking. Fake food poisoning or your grandmother's on her deathbed, whatever. Obviously, you don't want to hurt her feelings. The weekend was probably planned months in advance, and maybe back then, you were hot for her. Whatever you decide to do, do it quickly. The closer it gets to departure, the more it's going to hurt. Do you pull a Band-Aid off slowly or in one quick yank? The quick yank is usually better. Why don't you arrange a meeting somewhere and not a restaurant? Stupid movies always do breakup scenes over dinner. Nothing could be worse. Coffee might be good, or just a walk in the park, someplace that allows an easy and swift exit for both of you, so she can run off and cry her eyes out, and you can go feel like the shitbag of the century. There's no easy way out of this, Rick. Oh, you see, all this love stuff is so fucking dangerous. Just tell her what you told me, and don't tell her you're just not ready. Obviously, she thinks you might be. And if you use that line, she may decide to wait until you are. Just tell her she's wonderful, but not the one for you. And then vanish. There are no guarantees in love. Disappointment is a part of the game. But when you layer heartbreak with deception, that can turn sorrow into rage. Then you've got to walk around the rest of your life wearing a Nomex suit in case she tries to sneak up on you with a 5-gallon gas can like that poor dead bastard in Indonesia. Good luck to you, Rick. I wish you well. Now, this last one is from Steven. Here we go. Hey, Larry. I am the lowest form of life, an incel. I'm 23, have a shit job, and have never had a girlfriend. The only sex I've had is with myself. I think I look okay, but that's a subjective opinion. If I looked like Ryan Gosling, I probably wouldn't be writing to you. I've used all the apps, been set up on dates, but nothing works. I'm not gay, but I am starting to think maybe Elliot Rodger had a point. Help me, Sensei. Whoa, this could be a joke. But since he invoked the name of the king of incels, Elliot Rodger, I better not fuck around. Steven left out a lot of info that could help me help him, but just going on what he's told me, I would give Steven the same 6-month, 3-part program I would give any dude going through a dry spell, lifetime or otherwise. This is the path from incel to stud. Guaranteed. Ready? Here we go. 1. Stop looking for a girlfriend immediately and invest in yourself. Why do you have a shitty job? Most jobs are shitty. That's why they have to pay people to do them. So you might as well get a job that pays better, so you feel less shitty about doing it. So spend at least 1 hour a day looking for a better gig, starting now. 2, get in front of a mirror. We don't all hit the genetic jackpot, looks-wise, but that doesn't mean we can't make the most of what we have. Does your face look like a scrotum? Get yourself to a good barber. Tell him you'll tip him 50% if he can make you look fabulous. Lose the old man in the mountain beard, if that's what you've got. Chicks don't really like those. If your teeth are brown, get them whitened. If they're crooked, get them straightened. They even make a home version of Invisalign now. Google it. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than an orthodontist. One thing you can control is the shape you're in. If you're built like Patrick from SpongeBob, start eating right. Get to a gym and sculpt yourself into shape. Think of all the chicks out there who may not be a 7, 8, or 9, or 10, but if they are built like a fitness model, her face means less and less, doesn't it? As I said in my book, Mac Daddy, getting in shape can be accomplished in 4 words. Move more, eat less. Unless you are morbidly obese, you can accomplish all this in 6 short months if you get serious. Once you're in peak condition, get some good-looking threads. They don't have to be expensive. Again, from Mac Daddy, let these 3 words guide your wardrobe selection. Buy the dummy. Retailers do not let the stock boys dress the mannequins. They hire pricey professionals to do that. And they put together the outfits that look the best and make chicks look twice at you when you wear them. No need to thrash around wondering what goes with what. Just buy the dummy's clothes and you'll look great. 3. Now you're almost ready for action. Do not go to a singles bar or dance club or anywhere people intentionally go to meet people. That's where you meet assholes. Instead, do what you love doing and make sure it's nothing digital. Stay the fuck off the computer, phone, and tablet. Fuck apps. Apps are for saps. Whether it's sports, music, cleaning oil spills at the beach, rescuing puppies, haunting a museum, a farmer's or flea market, square dancing, yoga, whatever the hell it is, whatever floats your boat and other people are doing, that's where you need to be. And enjoying yourself while you do it. If you do all these things, I guarantee some chick will find you. Pickup artists are full of shit. If you recall that asshole in the purple velvet hat from the reality TV show who claimed to be a pickup artist, he couldn't have gotten laid wearing a solid gold suit to a whorehouse. That asshole, what was his name? Oh, Mystery, yeah. As I like to say, there are no mysteries, and that clown was a total fraud. Because the truth is, women pick up men, not the other way around. You might think you are the aggressor, their pursuer, but chicks are so damn insidious and clever and sneaky, they make you think you picked her up. It's like that old saying, he chased her until she caught him. If you follow these 3 simple actions, Rick, you will go from incel to stud. I guarantee it. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I just released a bonus episode, Larry Unloads. It's at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. You don't want to miss it. Cops are now doing anal probes, not just in hospitals, but even on roadsides in New Jersey. I also go off on that shitty taxi company Uber. Those fuckballs are narking on people for the hell of it. I've got a fix for those asshats too. Slide by the show page at thatlarryshow.com and be sure to subscribe while you're there. Doesn't matter, Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, RSS, email, Spotify, Android, we've got it all covered for your listening pleasure. If you feel like writing to me, I'm at thatlarryshow@gmail.com, or you can call the dojo at 302-71-LARRY. Until next Tuesday or thereabouts, take no shit.